So I just want to welcome everyone here this morning. It's good to see you all here. My name is Pastor Jordan Nemetz. I am a staff pastor here at Rockside Church. I am not Michelle Thompson. I am not Pastor Michelle, as you can see, by my hairline. So we're kicking off a new series for the month of March. I can't believe it's March. That snow's going to melt soon. Just hold on, people. Right now, we're in fake spring. It's going to be real spring soon. So we're kicking off a new sermon series called Our House. And this sermon series, we're going to focus on who we are as Rockside Church, what God has called our house to be. So over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about our mission, our values, and what God has called us to be as a church. So, Anna, could you put up that that exercise bike graphic? Okay, so look how determined that guy looks, right? Okay, I want to share a story with us. So it was my 31st birthday, and I really enjoyed my 20s. I could eat whatever, right? I didn't look at any calories or carbs or nothing. I that looks good, a Twinkie. And I ate that, right? And I went to the doctor, and he's like, hey, welcome to your 30s, basically. So he said I needed to incorporate weekly exercise into my routine. So I spent a solid week researching exercise bikes. I found the perfect one at a really good price. And so I bought it, and I patiently waited for it to arrive, and I showed up, I got it out of the box, I went down to the basement. I don't know if anyone's done this, but you're like, this is my exercise area. Kids, don't touch. This is my exercise area. I set up my TV, I finally set it up, and I worked out on it probably 4 times. Okay. It's still in my basement to this day. It's in a dark corner of my basement. But I did find this. If you're ever ironing a shirt, okay? If you're ever ironing a shirt, this makes a great rack to hang it on. So you can just, starch your shirt, hang it up. And so there's purpose there. So I bought this bike with a purpose in mind. But over time, that original purpose, it was replaced by something it was never designed to be. And I think if we aren't careful, we can start functioning in a purpose we were never designed to function in. Let's take the church, for example. The church, if we get off track from our purpose, it could turn into a business. In our society today, that's kind of a narrative that's going on, that the church is just, they're out to get my money or whatever. It can turn into a social club with lots of programs, right? But no power to change the culture around it. It can even be a really good nonprofit, right? We could get really good at feeding people and meeting physical needs in our community while ignoring the spiritual needs of people around us. What about us individually? Instead of taking risks to see people impacted by the gospel, we can get comfortable with me and mine. I call it a holy huddle, like where we know each other, and that's good to be in deep relationship with people. But does God call us to more? My mother-in-law says it like this: we can become so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good. Has anyone heard that before? We can become so heavenly minded. We can be so focused on heaven. And yes, there's a hope to look forward to. But does God have a job for us here? We can know a lot about love. We can look up all the Greek words for love, but not actually apply it or live it out in our lives. We can know a lot of scripture, but we can miss Jesus. Just ask the Pharisees, right? So this begs the question for us today. What is our purpose? What are we designed to be as Christ followers and as his church? Does scripture give us any direction with this? So today, we're going to look at this idea of commission, what it is, and how it applies to us here at Rockside. So buckle up. It's going to be a good time. All right? Let's pray this morning. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it guides and directs us. Lord, as we open your word today, I pray that you would convict us of where we fall short, Lord. You would guide us where we need to go. You would change our perspective, change our mind, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through me today to your people and build your church here at Rockside. In your name we pray. Amen. So, for all those taking notes, who's a note taker here? Anyone? Yeah, Anthony, I knew it. I knew it. So here's our main point. I'm just going to go straight to it. Sometimes we, you know, what's the main point? I'm just going to give it to you. If you follow Jesus, you are commissioned. If you follow Jesus, you are commissioned. So what does the word commission mean? Here's our Webster's Dictionary. It means an instruction, command, or duty given to a person or group of people. And I did a little study on this. There are many examples of people being commissioned in the Bible. So here's a few examples. So Adam and Eve, you know them? They were the first. They were, you know, they showed up first. They win. Genesis 1:28. God commissioned them to be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion over the earth. Genesis 1:28 says this, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. That was their job. That's what God commissioned them to do. Abraham. Here's our next example. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. God commissioned Abram, to leave his homeland and to become the father of many nations. It says in Genesis 12, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All right, here's another example. Moses, Exodus 3:10, commissioned at the burning bush to lead Israel out of Egypt. It says, now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. He was commissioned. Okay, here's some New Testament. Matthias, in Acts, he was commissioned to be an apostle to replace Judas. I would hate to be Judas because every time they mention Judas, they're like, that guy, he did that. So Judas needed replaced, and it says in Acts 1:24 through 26, then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. See, that's where it was. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. He was commissioned. Okay. So one more example. Okay. Paul and Barnabas. It's like the Bert and Ernie of the New Testament. Commissioned to be missionaries. So in Acts 13:2-3, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So there's like five examples in Scripture of people being commissioned. So this idea of being commissioned is a normal one in the kingdom of God. Our God is not a passive God. Amen? But he's one who calls specific people to specific things. So I want to ask us, so what is our purpose? What are we designed to be? Does Scripture speak to this? So luckily, we don't need to guess. Jesus defines our commission at the very end of the book of Matthew. So we're going to spend the rest of our time here. We're going to camp out here. We're going to dig into this portion of scripture to help us understand what our purpose is as his followers. So some context on this passage we're about to read. And this account can be found in the book of Matthew and Mark. So Jesus is crucified. He's buried, and on the third day, he's resurrected. And immediately following these events, he appeared to his disciples. And these were his final parting words to them before he left. And usually final words are important. Have you ever had a friend move away? Or maybe you have a loved one on their deathbed, and it's, you know, it's the last conversation you're going to have for a while. These are important things. This isn't a willy-nilly, like, oh, by the way, you know, can you pick up eggs on the way home? This is like, this is very important for us. This is crucial. So I want to read Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And it says this, starting in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." So here's our main point. I'm bringing it back. So we remember, if you follow Jesus, you are, what are you? Commissioned. Awesome. You guys are awake. You guys are caffeinated. It is work. Whoever made the coffee, you guys are doing great. If you follow Jesus, you are commissioned. This is the duty. This is the responsibility Jesus has given to us, his people. We're his church, right? We're commissioned. So I want to talk about some roadblocks to us being commissioned, okay? There's always room to grow. And I want to talk about some things that might hold us back from fully realizing us being commissioned in our lives. So number one, here's our first roadblock. Not knowing the source of our authority or ability. So this is why making disciples is a roadblock. It's very hard to do, okay? Do I have any gardeners in here? Anyone? I know Pat. She does yard work. Yeah. Have you ever tilled up soil or planted a garden or something? If the ground is dry and it's hard, it's really hard to work with. And discipling people a lot of times is the same way. A lot of times people's hearts are dry and they're hard. And it's a process. It's a process to dig in there. And as you dig into people's hearts, you'll find that there's rocks sometimes in there. And it's a process that God walks us through to dig out those things and to till up that soil. It's not easy to do. And I would even go as far to say, without the help of the Holy Spirit, it's an impossible task. I can't change anyone. I can't. If I can convince you through a human argument to believe in Jesus, someone smarter than me can come along and just say the exact opposite and convince you. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to change people's hearts. So I'm sure that Jesus is telling his disciples, go and make disciples. And I'm sure the response is, go and make disciples. You mean I got to, like, go out and tell people about you? I gotta teach them? Well, in order to teach them, I gotta know something. Do I know something? Do I know anything? Who am I? What authority do I have? I think in our lives, we might feel that way. Like, there's smarter people out there, right? Who am I? What authority do I have? So our response to that line of thinking is, I hope someone else will do it, right? come on. I wish someone else would do it. I hope someone more qualified, more intelligent, more charismatic, maybe more spiritual. I know, the pastor. The pastor. The pastor will do it. Or that board member. The board member, they're smart. That life group leader, they can do that, right? They can make disciples. But me, I don't know. So as we do that, we immediately remove ourselves from the mission Jesus has given us. If you just want to delegate that off, you're missing an opportunity for God to use you in powerful ways. And I think the reason we think that way is because we're looking to our own authority. Everything I mentioned there, that had nothing to do with God. That had everything to do with me and what I have to offer and my intellect and my charisma and personality. God didn't say that your charisma is going to change anything. What he said was, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go. So I want to encourage you with that today. It's not your ability. It's not your authority. It's Christ. It's the Holy Spirit's work. Trust him as he guides and directs you. And you can have confidence knowing that his Holy Spirit is backing you. He's going before you. He's tilling up that soil, right? We can trust him. Ephesians 3:20 through 21 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So with this point, and then we'll move on. So you don't need to pray for someone else more qualified, charismatic, more spiritual. Jesus and his authority is telling you, you're it. At your workplace, you're it. Sometimes it feels like that, huh? I'm it. There's not another guy or something. You're it. Jesus has sent you into your world to make disciples. Don't wait for someone else. It's you, okay? I'm just thankful for the Holy Spirit. Because when we need courage, because sometimes you see that opportunity, and it's like, do I bring up Jesus? The Holy Spirit will give you courage. He'll embolden you. When you need patience, the Holy Spirit will strengthen you. We actually prayed that this morning. When you need the right words to say, the Holy Spirit will tell you what you need to say. Jesus is the source of our authority and ability. So here's roadblock number two. We're going to learn a little bit of Greek, and don't worry, I ran this past the cousins. My wife is 100% Greek. I'm just going to mention that every Sunday. I feel like I say that. I'm just so proud. They adopted me. I am not 100% Greek. I am what they call an exeno, which is a foreigner. But they accepted me. They feed me. It's great. So here's roadblock number two, and we're going to learn a Greek word. We don't know what go looks like. Okay? I'm sure when Jesus was saying, okay, go make disciples, their response was, oh, go where? Like, what does that look like? They had no, there's not really a concept. Are there different ways of going, right? So go is a small word, but it causes us to ask some big questions. So here's the Greek word. I looked it up in the Greek, and I ran it by Yaya, and it's kind of funny. Leah's looking at me. Poreoma. What is it? Proevome. Porevome. I'm learning. Yeah. Let's say it all together. Porevome. Porevome. Oh, you got. Bravo. Bravo. So this word, we read it in our modern translation as go and make disciples. The Greek is more going, okay? And this kind of changes the application for us a little bit, okay? Go isn't only for missionaries, but maybe God is calling you to go. And we want to send missionaries. If you feel called to missions, talk to us. We would love to have that conversation. But Jesus wants us to know that as we are going to be making disciples, that changes it. As we're living our mundane life, to look for opportunities to reach into other people's lives and show them the hope we have. So how does this outlook change things for us? How does it change things for the new mom who's at home with babies, who can't leave? How does going change for her? What about the empty nesters whose kids have moved off to college and they're in a new season? How does going look for them? Maybe the college student, maybe they're new on campus and they don't have any friends. How does going look for them? Maybe the widow whose life has maybe used to be busy with a lot of activity. Maybe it's slowed down. What does going look like for them? Or maybe the high school senior who's just, you know, figuring out their faith, who is in that tension of, you know, making friends and fitting in with Jesus. What does going look like? Jesus has called us all as we're going to be making disciples. So I want to encourage you to take an inventory of your life. Don't brush it off on the missionaries. God has called you to be a missionary in your world as you're going to make disciples. So I just want to encourage you with that this morning. And here's our third point. We don't know how to make disciples. A lot of times we are fumbling through that. I think the church in Church Capital C, I think we've had a hard time drilling down on how do we make disciples as Christ Church. Life groups, we're trying things as a church, luckily. We have followed discipleship. So if you're interested in being discipled, we have something. So we want to point you in that direction. But by and large, we need to grow in this. We need to grow in how to make disciples. And I think the best way of asking or answering that question is to look to Jesus. How did Jesus make disciples? So I want to spend a little bit of time talking about that. He invited people into real relationship. And this was his first step. In Matthew 4:19, he says to Matthew, the tax collector, "Come and follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." Another way Jesus discipled. He lived out his faith daily and taught through life experiences. It says this in Matthew 13:3-9. "Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it, and some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." So context of this is Jesus is speaking, like this is a perfect example of Jesus using life experiences. He's talking to farmers. He's talking to people who plant things. So they get the concept, and he uses those experiences to bring the gospel. And I think for us, how does that look like for us? I think a lot of times conversation comes up with people, and we just kind of go along with it. when Jesus could use that conversation as a tool to present the gospel. In our culture today, there's a lot of fear going on. There's a lot of uncertainty. That it seems like that's kind of the default. You can leverage that for the gospel. You can point people to Jesus. Instead of being worried or stressed out, I have an answer. This is how God has helped me. And you can use those life experiences to point people to Jesus and to make disciples. How else did Jesus make disciples? He challenged and encouraged people to step out in faith. He encouraged and challenged. If you feel like God's challenging you, he's not mad at you. He's not mad. He loves you. Sometimes he brings challenging things into your life to grow you and to grow your faith. Like, think of Peter. He stepped out on the water. Matthew 14, like, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Well, Jesus said, come. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? God will put us in situations where we're stretched, where we need to build our faith. Don't run from that. Embrace it. God's going to use that to grow you. How else did he make disciples? He served others sacrificially. John 13, 3 through 5 says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he was wrapped around, that was wrapped around him. Jesus served people. And I think that even for us, as we make disciples, are you helpful in your world? Are you helpful to those around you? Are you looking for needs? Because there's plenty of needs. There's plenty of opportunities to serve people. How else? He sent them out to make more disciples. Mark 16, 15. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Okay? So here's our main point. We're back. I'm bringing it back. So if you follow Jesus, you are what? Commissioned. Awesome. Okay. So here's some application for us. So what do I need to do? Maybe you're sitting there. Okay. Jesus has commissioned me. What does that look like? What are some practical things I can do to live that out? Okay. I believe in time frames. I love time frames. Because if you say, do this thing, it's probably like, I'll get to the laundry eventually, and then it's like Laundry Mountain that you have to climb up. It's good to have a time frame. So the next week, the next 7 days for all of us, okay? I want you, as you're going, to invite someone into your life. Invite someone into your life. And this can't be a church person. This can't be someone who's already a Christian. That's cheating. Okay? All right? Invite a coworker. Invite a neighbor or a friend over for dinner, maybe. Maybe intentionally create a space to talk and to dig deeper. Maybe host a game night or something where relationships can deepen. Maybe you can invite someone to go to the gym or maybe go on a walk. You want to go walk in 20-degree weather this week? I don't know. Maybe it might warm up. It might warm up. But use it as an opportunity to just model Christ-like character. I want to share this story real quick. So a cool thing has happened with our young adults. We were all working out at different gyms, okay? And I don't know how this happened. Like, some of us were at Planet Fitness. Some of us were at, a number of gyms. But there's this gym in Parma Heights. That a few of our young adults were already going to. And other people, some other young adults who were going to Planet Fitness, they graduated. I've never graduated a gym before. I've never maxed out the machines. Some people, Matt, have done that. So what has happened here is all of our young adults have gone to this other gym. And it's really fun. It's not like on the calendar, but it's kind of like unspoken, like Fridays at 6. If you show up to the gym, chances are some young adults are going to be there. And that has been a great opportunity for discipleship, not only to like encourage each other, but also there are friends that are already working out with their buddy and they don't go to church and they're kind of in this circle too. Like what an opportunity that God is kind of putting together. So I just wanted to share that. But that's an example of how we can go and invite people in. Here's another idea. Maybe ask someone about their faith background. Okay? We're always afraid that we're going to offend people. We got to get over that. But asking someone about their faith background, it's not really, it's not edgy. Like, people aren't going to be offended by that. Like, everyone has some sort of faith background, most likely. Just listen to them. Like, where'd you grow up to church? Did you grow up in church? What kind of church was it? You know, like, we're rolling. And maybe that might open the door for you to share about your experience and what God has done for you. Here's one more. If someone mentions a struggle, offer prayer. Prayer is great. We don't need to just sit with our burdens. We can take those burdens to the Lord through prayer. And that's also a catalyst for discipleship. So what has God created you to do? Okay, what has he commissioned you to do? God has created you. He's empowered you. He's placed you in your world to make disciples. There isn't anyone else. You're it. All right? So, Leah, you can come up. So we're going to close this morning. And I just want us to dream a little bit. I just want us to reflect on what we talked about. Imagine how our faith would look, how Rockside would look if we really lived out this idea of commission. The people that have this idea that church is just a business, how would that change their perspective if their Christian neighbor began to serve them, to invite them in, to offer prayer, to offer support? Instead of just gaining knowledge about Scripture, would we actively apply it to our lives? How would that transform the way we live? Rather than a comfortable, self-serving, church-going life, what if we began to take risks to see others come to know Jesus? How would that change us? Imagine the impact we would have. Instead of ignoring the needs around us, we would begin to engage our communities and influence this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you follow Jesus, you are commissioned.